Another key aspect of parenting is coordination between parents. I'm not saying that parents should need to engage in identical activities with their children. Parents should work together to create a harmonious environment. Children may experience different interactions with each parent, such as a short shower with one parent and a long bath with another, or playful moments with one parent before bedtime and a soothing story with the other. This approach works effectively when both parents accept and understand their roles in these arrangements. By demonstrating a unified stance, parents send a clear message to their children, preventing manipulation. For instance, if one parent limits sweets while the other is more permissive, it can create conflict within the family. To avoid arguments, it's essential for parents to align their expectations and boundaries. When it comes to setting boundaries, parents must cooperate and, if necessary, compromise. For example, if there's a disagreement on the number of sweets allowed per day, they could find a middle ground, perhaps 2 sweets on weekdays and 3 on weekends. Coordination is vital to maintaining a healthy parent-child relationship. Another critical aspect of parenting is fostering a sense of belonging. Children, regardless of age, seek connection and inclusion within their families. Parenting consultants often emphasize the importance of reinforcing this connection to strengthen familial bonds. As parents, it's our responsibility to nurture our children's sense of belonging and create a supportive, loving environment. So, where do we falter as parents or caregivers? The issue arises when we compare our children. We say to them, you know, your brother is more responsible than you, or your sister listens to me every time I talk to her, but you don't, or why do you always make a mess when you are eating? The moment we compare them to another child, we make our child feel inadequate in certain aspects. They think they aren't good at eating neatly or being responsible. Consequently, their sense of belonging within the family is undermined and they feel ineffective. This leads to negative behavior. When they're unhappy, they may behave poorly or even do the opposite of what we expect. As parenting consultants, we often find parents asking, "But why? Why did you do that?" Or wondering, "How could they have not thought of that?" These why questions can further erode a child's effectiveness and sense of belonging within the family. The truth is that in most cases, our children don't know the answer. They won't suddenly say, "Mommy, I did it because I feel you're not appreciate me," or "I feel you don't love me." They act out of some motivation to achieve something and benefit from it. It might sound strange, but children genuinely benefit from negative attention as well. They receive attention from us even if it's disapproving. Let's consider potty training, for example. Some parents, when trying to potty train their child, repeatedly question them after accidents. "But why? We just explained that you need to go to the bathroom." In reality, the child doesn't have an answer. But they continue to have accidents because it brings them attention and puts them at the center of focus. In light of this, we need to reflect on the language we use with our children. We must eliminate automatic negative statements from our vocabulary. When we ask why, repeatedly we should consider it a red flag. Sentences of blame, which begin with "you," and carry a disapproving tone, such as "you're always making a mess," "you're always swearing," or "you're always forgetting," should be avoided. This blameful intonation instills a sense of disappointment, making children feel like they're constantly letting us down. Witnessing our dissatisfaction perpetually erodes their sense of belonging in the family. When problems multiply, they manifest in negative behaviors and conflicts, which is precisely what we want to avoid and resolve. As a parenting consultant, it's crucial to promote healthier communication and foster a nurturing environment for our children. The next aspect, which relates to the child's sense of belonging, highlights the point I just emphasized. A lack of belonging leads to increased negative behaviors. A child may refuse to comply with our requests, intentionally acting out or hurting our favorite child to provoke us. However, their actions are not driven by a desire to be malicious or because they harbor hatred for us. Instead, their behavior stems from a deep need for and craving of our attention. They realize that by exhibiting negative behaviors, they can draw us closer to them. We tend to approach them due to their negative behaviors, whereas positive behaviors are often taken for granted. When do we step in, scold them, and call them by their names? It's when they hit, swear, throw things, or have a meltdown. In those moments, we respond. Consequently, they understand that this is the strategy that works to get their parents' attention. Let me provide an example from my experience as a parenting consultant. I once worked with a family of 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls. The eldest son suddenly became extremely impulsive, hitting, breaking things, and yelling. The concerned parents approached me, describing their child as a lost cause. Upon investigating the family dynamics, I discovered that the 3 younger siblings were very close to each other, enjoying playtime together, while the eldest was excluded from their interactions. Hearing the parents label their child as a lost cause set off alarm bells in my head, as no child should ever be considered a lost cause. It saddened me to hear such a statement, knowing that it occurs in many households. The child in question is not a lost cause. They are simply creating a power struggle because they need us. They require a sense of belonging within the family unit. These children are calling out for their parents, asking them to believe in their capabilities. So, who is responsible for initiating change? The parents. Often they expect the child to change, but that's not the child's responsibility. It's ours. We must be the ones to make the change, support them, and lend a helping hand. While this may sound difficult, and it happens to all of us, it's essential to remember that a child expressing distress does so through their behavior. If you see a child behaving negatively and wonder why they're acting that way, it's because they need us. That's the answer. Understanding this perspective may change your view of the child. Realizing that a sassy, crying, or tantrum-throwing child needs warmth and an enhanced sense of belonging in that moment. Always remember that. The following point is crucial to understand. Our children's behavior, even when challenging, is not to harm us, but is actually a method they use to their advantage. They are leveraging their actions to benefit themselves. To clarify, they are not acting out of spite or malice. They are not bad children. Their actions simply reflect their understanding that certain behaviors will draw our attention towards them. Consequently, they learn to use these behaviors to gain our attention and engage with us. However, even though they might resort to negative behavior, our role as parents is not to merely respond but to modify our reactions. The moment we adjust our response, becoming more positive and responding appropriately, we'll notice an immediate shift in their behavior, almost like magic. This positive change not only enhances our relationship with our children in the short term or during specific incidents, but also establishes a stronger bond in the long term. Especially if you have young children, this approach prepares you for the adolescent years and lays a stable foundation for ongoing parent-child interactions. It's all about setting healthy boundaries, communicating effectively, and nurturing their emotional growth.